0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Lee Griffiths will face no disciplinary action after Sunday's match at Hamilton. Steven Gerrard believes Rangers will be back to their best soon and gives his backing to Alfredo Morelos. And the squads for the knockout stages of the Europa League have been submitted to UEFA. Your squad for tonight is in. Gordon Dalziel is here and Roger Hanna is alongside him.
And we love a full midweek Premiership card. Lee Griffiths free to play for Celtic at Motherwell tomorrow. Florian Kamberi not free to play for Rangers against Hibs tomorrow. We've got a relegation 6-pointer to look forward to, St Mirren against Hamilton. And we promise for the next 2 hours, Gordon, we'll speak slowly, we'll speak clearly, we'll speak calmly. Don't need to worry about the translation in this show.
Yeah, I don't want anything you say getting lost in translation, Gordon Dale. Keep it clear if you can.
Yeah, as clear as I possibly can. I'm looking forward to tomorrow night, Gordon. I think the card brings up a few really interesting games. Celtic go to Motherwell. Motherwell disappointed with their performance at the weekend against Livy. Another great result for them. And Rangers, who I watched on Saturday, below par just now. Stephen Gerrard's come out and said, look, we're missing a little bit of a spark. Well, they have to get that spark back quickly, and they will need to start tomorrow night against Hibs at Ibrox.
Yeah. I think when we came out the winter break, everyone was excited. You know, it was nip and tuck. Rangers just 2 points behind. They had that game in hand. But a bit like 12 months ago, they've stuttered and they've stalled a little bit. Celtic have got the initiative. They've pushed on. 7 clear. Rangers still, of course, have that game in hand. But there's no real wiggle room for Rangers anymore. They need to hit the ground running against Hibs again tomorrow night.
Gordon, how decisive it was, we don't know yet. You can have your own thoughts on it. You find out really come the end of the season. Did that feel like it had the potential to be a big weekend in the title race?
Yeah, because it's so tight now, Gordon, and that gap that's given Celtic a wee bit of the luxury. Yeah, I do think that Rangers will win their game in hand, so you're basically looking at 4 points. But 4 points is a lot. You can't afford to drop anything. Their performance on Saturday wasn't the best, I've got to say. I thought Aberdeen deserved their point, maybe could have scored a couple of goals. Probably created more chances at Ibrox than they have in a long time. They remember the last time they were there, they get thrashed 5-0. But there's just something missing just now. Rangers manager knows that's the case. He has got to find the solution, and he's got to find it soon, because I don't think they can afford to be throwing away silly points, Gordon.
That said, Daz, I wasn't hugely impressed with Celtic for the first half hour at Hamilton at the weekend. They fell a goal behind. They too looked sluggish going forward at times, and it really took that flashpoint, Jamie Hamilton's red card, Odson Edwards' free kick, just to get them to kick into life again.
The only thing I would say about that, Roger, I do agree with you. I watched the game at Hamilton and I thought Celtic started really poor, but all credit to Hamilton. I think sometimes we get carried away with the big teams and not giving credit to the other teams. I thought Hamilton lined up very well, went about their business good, got their goal. Changing point, obviously, Edwards steps up that free kick, go down to 10 men. And it's a convincing one in the end. Now, when you look at Celtic just now, I think the small difference is with Griffiths and Edward up front, although they're playing poorly, you always think there's goals there with Forrest. Christie comes on. Their attacking players are brilliant. You looked at Rangers at the weekend there and you're thinking, apart from Morelos, and he misses a great chance, where's the goal going to come from? You know, that's where the difference is just now. I think Celtic have got the edge because I think they've got better goal scorers all over the pitch.
Lots to get through tonight. A lot of it's down to you. So if you've got any thoughts, you need to share them now. 01419511025. Twitter is at ClydeSSB. Let's hear from you on any of today's big talking points. Like I say, there are a few. Let's kick off with Lee Griffiths. It was the subject of much debate on last night's show. He has been cleared by the Scottish FA. Neil Lennon spoke before that and said he would have been bewildered if the striker was charged after that incident at Hamilton on Sunday. Was it a stamp? Was it not a stamp? Well, the Scottish FA certainly don't think it was a red card offence. The Celtic boss says there was no malice in it, but he still did have a word with Lee Griffiths after that incident.
I saw it at the time. There was no malice in it. What disappointed me was in pushing the player after it. You know, we're huge on discipline and team discipline. And, you know, I've had a quiet word with him about it. But in terms of the stamp, there was no malice in that. There was no intent on that at all. So I would be
you know, bewildered if anything came from that. I think his leg was trapped and he's trying to get up. And I'm not sure how much contact he really made with the player at the time. I've not seen it again on camera, but I do know from where I am and from a footballing point of view that it's not, it's almost like he's trying to get up rather than lift his leg and actually put it down on the player.
Right decision, wrong decision?
Wrong decision for me, Gordon. Everybody's got their own point of view, and you're entitled to that. I've watched it over and over again, and I can't come to the conclusion of saying it was accidental. I thought it was a straight red card, and that's my opinion on it. When I watched it first, I thought, he's got away with one here. And then I watched it, and I kept watching it, and I looked at it today, I looked at it yesterday, and nothing has changed my mind. I can't understand how that was not a red card. But he's got away with one. That's what happens in football. Sometimes you get a little break. He's got to behave himself, as Neil Lennon said there. He's getting caught up in one or two things. He's got to just keep doing his talking on the pitch, because he looks like he's getting back to his best, Gordon. He looks sharp. He should have scored on Sunday. The one that comes over and the volley's over the bar with his right foot. Usually Lee Griffiths will stick that in the back of the net. And the one thing I do like about it just now is they're forming a real good partnership, Griffiths and Edward.
Roger, eventually, if the day comes when the Scottish FA decide to not do the fast track hearings on Tuesday, we'll have to move your night, because you're always on here when these things come out, and you always say that nothing surprises you when it comes to the disciplinary process. But push that to one side, what would you have gone for, well, for instance, if you were in charge?
I tend to agree with Naz. I thought at the time it was a red card. Now Nick Walsh has chosen not to send Lee Griffiths off. I think the wording of the rule now is excessive force and brutality or something now. So in the first instance, when they look at it again, Nick Walsh gets his chance to look at it. Are you happy with it, Nick? Yes, I'm happy with the decision. Therefore, the on-field decision stays as it is. What slightly confuses me is in the aftermath of it, and this is what Neil Lennon was speaking about a second ago, Gordon, there was a bit of pushing and shoving between Lee Griffiths and Alec Gogic, and both players were booked. So does that mean there was no punishment at all to Lee Griffiths for the clash with Sam Woods? Are we to presume the yellow cards administered to Griffiths and Gogic were for shoving each other? Therefore, there's nothing at all given for Griffiths' clash with Woods, which for me...
Or nothing for the push.
Well, you have to assume if he's booking...
Yeah, sure, you book one of each, don't you?
If he's booking Alec Gogic for the push, he has to be booking Lee Griffiths for the push. Therefore, there's no punishment whatsoever for the clash with Sam Woods. I think he's a very lucky boy, if that's the case.
0141 951 1025. What do you think, Ian in Greenock?
Hi Gordon. Hi Roger. I've not had a chance to speak to you for a long time, but Happy New Year, he's great.
That's the latest Happy New Year we've ever had.
Merry Christmas as well.
No, I mean, honest to God, I've not spoke to you for a long time.
It's good to hear from you,
haven't I? Anyway, Gordon, you were talking at the top of the show there, Gordon Dale.
Yes.
About the Rangers game and Rangers game on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Rangers were lucky on Saturday to get a draw. And I'm agreeing with you.
Yep.
I watched the full game, and I watched the champions elect on my tablet, Liverpool, running away with the Premier League in England. But anyway, that's irrelevant to that. Going back to the Old Firm, there is a challenge on. You've been talking about all season. Now there's daylight. There's a 4-point deficit. But it's 7 because Celtic will get the points on the board. So, Rangers, show us what you have got. Because I tell you now, they're very, very weak when they've not got, on the park. The boy Jack does a lot. And I don't know how long he's out for. But Stu Keevan's mentioned... And Alec Ray mentioned, who'd you call him last night? James Tavernier.
Isn't he? He's back tomorrow,
He's back tomorrow.
Yep.
But Habs are not lying, doing it tomorrow night. And Celtic's going to Motherwell, your local team, Gordon. I don't know about an easy game either.
You're right, it won't be, Ian. We're built for that.
Roger, that is the reality, as Ian puts out there. Everyone knows the points gap. Everyone knows that Celtic have clearly started the calendar year better than Rangers have. So there are no surprises there. Rangers cannot keep up the form over the last week or so.
Yeah, and you know, it's just shown the importance of some players. Everybody talks about the importance of Morelos, when Morelos missed the games, how he was missed. I agree Ryan Jack's been missed in the middle of the park. I agree that James Tavernier's been missed at right back because, you know, his defensive shortcomings notwithstanding, he does take the team forward. His delivery into the box, the creativity from that right back position is very, very important to Rangers. What it's proved, if nothing else for me, and Dan's touching at the top of the show, when Celtic were labouring a little bit at Hamilton on Sunday, on comes Ryan Christie, on comes Tom Rogic, on comes Johnny Hayes. They all influence the game. Rangers, when they've had key men out, the strength and depth hasn't been there.
Right, Ian, Lee Griffiths, justice, or has he got away with one?
No. Where can he put his feet, Gordon? Where can he put it? Now, I've watched all different angles. I don't think there's any violence in it. If there was violence in it, he'd have been got a straight red card. Now, do I think you get a yellow card for the stamp, if she's getting correct on that, guys? But according, is the yellow card is for the push on, is it Boy Gogic?
Yeah.
Who I thought was immense, Roger.
He was. I thought he absolutely was.
And see the game at Parkhead when we stole it in the 93rd minute? Gogic scored the equaliser in that game, I think.
It was the same lad that scored. It was a boy of Ogompo. It was a boy of Ogompo who scored in both games.
Ogompo, that's right, Roger. Gogic was outstanding in that game and all. He's your orchestrator in that team, Gogic. People make him out, he's a clogger, but he's the orchestrator in that Hamilton team, and he could be the difference for them to stay up this year.
Yeah, he was absolutely brilliant.
Out of contract in the summer as well. He's timing his run of good form very nicely.
He threw everything,
good lad,
in front of everything. Yeah. Ian doesn't think Lee Griffiths could have put his feet anywhere else, Gordon.
I'm not Gordon. I respect anyone comes on this phone in tonight and said, well, I disagree with Gordon Dale, or I disagree.
We know that.
With
just give us your opinion. We don't need to qualify.
Lee Griffiths knows what he's doing. I think he knows what he's doing. I think it's just a moment of madness from him, and I think he's very lucky to stay on the pitch. Me personally, I'm saying it's a red card.
These things are often drawn along team lines, Roger, depending what your allegiance is. However, last night on Twitter and on the phones, we had quite a few Celtic fans saying, do you know what, I actually thought it was a red. I thought that one was a red. Thought he's got away with one. Nick Walsh didn't think it was a red. The referee on BT at the time didn't think it was a red. I believe Dermot Gallagher on Sky Sports didn't think it was a red. And now a panel of three former referees today didn't think it was a red. Does the refereeing fraternity now have a sort of definition or an interpretation of excessive force which maybe isn't quite in line with the way your average fan sees it? Because that's a lot of qualified individuals there who don't think it was.
If they didn't have it before, you now have the standard by which this type of case will now be judged. Lee Griffiths didn't pull his foot up 18 inches in the air and smash it down into Sam Woods. But I tend to agree with that. I thought at the time it was a red card, and I tend to agree with what Gordon Strachan said at half time on the TV on Sunday, that if he'd wanted to get his foot out of the way, he could probably have got his foot out of the way. However, if all of the refereeing fraternity, as you say, are saying Nick Walsh got it right, then I will have to bow to them. And
you,
say,
you don't have to at all.
No, I'm exactly, just, Roger. You're a man about it.
But if this type of thing happens again, we now know how it's going to be judged. Alfredo Morelos last season with Scott McKenna, red card. Lee Griffiths this season with Sam Woods, no red card.
But then the first, and I hate when we do this, because you end up just drawing every different example. I'm blaming you for bringing them up, but the first Morelos one was rescinded on the basis that it wasn't excessive force, wasn't it? Is that not the one that kicked all this off? The opening weekend of the season.
No, I'm not talking about that one. That was the one that was rescinded when he had a kick at Scott McKenna in the box. I'm talking about the stamp on Scott McKenna when they were both sent off.
Where in the body was that stamp, alleged stamp? I put stamp in inverted commas for you.
In what they used to term the nether region.
That perhaps is where the difference lies, because there's a different sort of rule test there. So that's why we shouldn't compare apples and oranges, Roger Hanna. And now look where you've started.
Or apples and plums.
Moving swiftly on, Callum and East Kilbride, do you have any thoughts on whether Lee Griffiths' decision was right or wrong?
You just kind of stole my thunder there.
Not at all, you can just elaborate nicely.
The only thing I can say is thank God Gordon Dale isn't a referee.
Callum, come on, I couldn't even keep up with play just now.
Do you know what? I quite like listening to you and Mark Wilson go at it. Usually I always go for Wilson, but tonight I'm going to be on behalf of Wilson. This is me speaking for Wilson, because okay. I know you'll be fighting the same.
Yeah.
So the problem, right, is, as he says, that all the referees, all the panel have agreed that it's a yellow. He's were talking about Morelos and McKenna last season. Everybody asks for consistency in this league. That is the one thing that everybody wants, because everybody thinks that their team gets treated unfairly at separate and different points through the season. I always say that it always usually goes for everybody, and sometimes it goes against you, but it always kind of balances itself out. The one that remembers that sticks in my mind is Morelos on Anthony Ralston stands on his back, and it wasn't even given as a foul. He got away with it. So, but that's not me then going, oh, that should this. That's obviously saying, well, that's not even a yellow. And the Griffiths situation is, he puts his leg in. It is a bit naughty. Maybe he should turn left rather than turning right. In the heat of the moment, it's quite easy just to turn and go against that player. But if you actually watch the video, slow motion doesn't really do it justice. But he actually puts his foot down, and he doesn't go right through the player, as in like, boom, there you go, there's a stamp, have that. He goes, oh, and he pulls his leg up, and the boy's already rolling on the floor as if he's been clattered off of somebody that's wearing a size 12 boot.
An interesting one, Callum. Lee Griffiths doesn't have what you might describe as form for this type of thing. Now, I know Ali McCoy said in the TV on Sunday, if it was Morelos, there may have been a different decision. I'm not going to go down that road, but, you know, someone like Ryan Christie, perhaps, or Darian McKinnon, perhaps, guys who have had red cards in the past for things like this, do you think they'd have been treated differently from Griffiths? Do you think Griffiths has maybe got off with one because you could say he's of previous good character?
That shouldn't come in here, does it?
I'm asking, not if it shouldn't, whether it did.
I don't think that's come into it, because I think they've looked across the board and went, well, wait a minute, if we can't give that as a yellow or a red. I don't get that with the Christie when he got banned there for the grab on Morelos. It happened last season and there was nothing done about it in the same game where Morelos stands on the player's, Anthony Nelson's back. So I think they've looked at it across the board. They've not looked at it as who the person is, or I'm hoping that they've looked at it.
I hope they haven't. And I don't understand the fascination. Well, I do understand it. It's not one that I go for. And it comes from people wanting what's best for their team, and they don't want their team to be treated any differently. But this absolute obsession we have with comparing it to another incident from last week, or another incident from 18 months ago, or another team, or another player, I personally struggle to see the point, because you can have your own opinions on what would have happened if it was another player. You can't even begin to come close to proving it. You also can't begin to come close to proving what would have happened if it was a different team. It seems to me the type of argument that will just go round in circles, and you never get anywhere on
it. I agree with you, Gordon. It's the same as people, the minute a bad result comes in, oh, playing against 12 men, and the referee done that the last game and stuff like that. Look, I said earlier, everybody's entitled to that. I am not interested, I'm not bothered, in my opinion, that Griffiths has got away with one. Best of luck to the boy. He's playing tomorrow night. He's back playing as well as he possibly can just now. He's looking a lot sharper. He's getting in amongst the goals. Fair dues. Everybody's got their opinion on it. I am sorry, I don't buy the excuses that Callum's coming out with about his foot, and he could have turned right, or he could turn left. For me, I think Lee Griffiths got caught up in the heat of the moment, and he knows what he's doing.
Gordon, I tend to agree with you as well, but I think it's worth asking the question. Rangers and Hibernian are going to this SFA tribunal hearing on Thursday. Now, when the charges were laid at the door of the two clubs, Rangers put out a statement basically saying the SFA are picking on us. And part of Alfredo Morelos' interview, controversial interview,
we'll get to that,
yesterday, suggested that he believes that he is being singled out. So when clubs and players, and Rangers and Alfredo Morelos are not alone in this, I've heard other clubs and other players saying it in the past, when they say that they believe they are being the victims, if you like, I think it's worth asking the question.
But if you can easily, very easily, off the top of your head, find other people who have been sent off for stamps and other people who have not, why the need to take it much further?
Oh, listen, it's not me that puts out statements, Gordon. You know, it's the clubs and the players that are putting out the statements.
I'm a you. I don't look at other things that's happened. We comment on what happened at the weekend. Everybody's got their opinion on it. Callum, are you still there?
I was just going to make one last.
That's good because I've just received a text from the Mercer room saying Callum's talking a lot of nonsense. I'm with you, Daz.
Callum, make it very quick if you can. We're running.
I think you've got an iPhone there, Gordon. I think you've got a Nokia, but it's all right. But my last point was, I don't know if you've seen the Celtic statement tonight, obviously, with this interview of Sky Sports. Sky Sports have now taken it down off their website, so you can't watch the interview for obviously their own reasons. That's fine. Because I actually had a bell and Monk that phones up sometimes, and it was saying, I was at the game on the 29th, right? I was at the game, and this kind of, it's a bit of a bad topic because people are saying like it was people racial abuse, or people this, or people this, or people that. One, I don't condemn abusing anybody.
I condone.
That's not right at all. But the point is that I've not seen for one somebody come out and say, right, Celtic have racially abused, their fans have done this or done that. So I'm quite happy that Celtic have stood up to this.
Well, I'll tell you what, Callum, you've teed it up quite nicely, because Stephen Gerrard had a lot on his mind today, and some of those stories have developed a bit further, and we'll do them next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon DL and Roger Hanna here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Delighted, Gordon, that you've actually made it into the studio. Roger, when you arrived at the office at 5 to 6, where was he?
He was lying sleeping in the couch.
I've had a hard day.
Hugh Keevans comes in here 2 p.m. goes through Twitter, newspapers, websites, writes his notes, his research. Yeah. You were asleep on the couch until 5 to 6.
Gordon, I was out this afternoon, a 25-mile bike ride, and it just got the better of me, I've got to say. So I reckon by 9 o'clock the light's about tonight and I'll be sleeping.
Yeah, as he tried to get out the couch, well, I wish I had videoed this. He took cramp.
I could hear him from in here. This is a soundproof studio and I could hear him.
Honest to goodness, I'm quite sure half of Clyde Bank could have heard him.
Anyway, 01419511025 to get in touch. Stephen Gerrard was on media duties today as well. He spoke about racism in Scottish football. He says it's still a problem in Scotland. He says it's embarrassing, it's still being talked about in this day and age. And he says they'll offer Alfredo Morelos all the support he needs.
Look, I think the first thing is we realise we're not in our best form. We always support all the players on and off the pitch. Certainly if they feel as if they're suffering from abuse from the stands, we always are there 100% for our players. And we're always there to support other players that maybe are on the end of it in our stadium as well. It seems as if racism is still a problem, certainly in this country. And I've been one who's been very vocal in terms of we all have to continue to keep doing what we need to do to eradicate it, because it's bang out of order. And that's just not me supporting my own players, that's across the board. It's very disappointing that we're still talking about situations like this in this day and age. I think it's embarrassing, really. We love working with Alfredo. I think he's a fantastic player. I know I'm always going to be biased towards him, but I certainly think he brings something to this league. I think he makes the league a lot more exciting. And as I say, we'll continue to give him the support that he needs. I know he feels strong about these issues. I listened to the interview. But my advice to Alfredo is to continue to be strong. We're here for him if he needs that support, and to continue to do what he does best, which is scoring goals and making our supporters happy.
Now, just like everything in Scottish football, Roger, we do things in a much more convoluted and utterly bizarre fashion than anywhere else, it seems. So let's try and separate a couple of things. First and foremost, Alfredo Morelos has... Well, in fact, let's bring you up to speed with developments today, if you like. So in the last couple of days, Alfredo Morelos gave an interview to Sky Sports. I'm sure many of you saw it. Where he outlined some of the abuse, racist and otherwise, that he's received in his time in Scotland. Now, there was mention of the game on the 29th of December against Celtic. And that then caused a lot of responses along the lines of, well, there's no evidence that he got racially abused in that game. That's gone a stage further today. And let me sort of tell you my own timeline on this, because before any of this came out, I thought to myself, well, we've got the show coming up and it's the type of thing you would do. I thought, I'm just going to sit down and watch that Sky Sports interview again. I just want to know what he says. I'm going to write it down, I'm going to watch it. And it wasn't there anymore. It wasn't available. I went on Twitter, tried to click links, went on the website, and it wasn't there anymore. Celtic have since issued a statement asking Sky Sports to conduct an investigation into that interview, which, and I'm paraphrasing here, they basically are accusing Sky Sports of a erroneous translation. Well, I think that just about covers it. So we kind of have to separate a couple of things, Roger. Alfredo Morelos, if he's been subject of racist abuse here in Scotland, we should condemn that wholeheartedly. Any player, we've been here before, it's disgraceful. It has no place in modern society, never mind modern football. But we've now got this bizarre subplot of Celtic seemingly at war with one of our biggest broadcasters over what was or wasn't put out in that interview.
Well, I'll address the subplot in a second. If we're talking racism in football, then racism in football and racism in society cannot be condoned in any shape or form. Whether it's Alfredo Morelos, whether it's some of his Rangers teammates, whether it's Celtic players, whether it's Motherwell players. I remember, I think it was a lad, Christian Mbulu, who was getting racially abused at Tynecastle a season or two back. There was Antonio Rudiger down at the Chelsea Spurs game earlier in the season. I believe in Turkey today, the big story is racist abuse of John Obi Mikel over there. It has no place in football. It has no place in modern society. It needs to stop now. If we're now going to address the subplot, Celtic seem concerned about the translation, the accuracy of the translation. As Alfredo Morelos was speaking words in his native tongue, there were subtitles accompanying his words, and there seems to be doubts now that the words that appeared on the screen may or may not have been the words that were coming out of Alfredo Morelos' mouth. That obviously now is an issue between Celtic and Sky Sports. I'm not sure who Sky Sports employed to do the translation. It'll be fascinating to find out how it all shakes down.
Let's take a call from Frank on this one. Frank's in Maryhill. Hi, Frank.
Hello, Gordon and the guys.
Hello.
Yeah, this is an extremely serious situation we've got here. And I want to make my point completely clear. Let's clear the decks of the innuendo and all the rest of it. What we have here is a club who, on the 29th of December, I think the match was, accused Celtic supporters of racially abusing one of their players. One of the most serious things you can accuse a group of supporters of doing, least of all, probably the most anti-racist an anti-bigoted group of supporters, the Celtic supporters, you'll find anywhere in Europe. And you accuse our history of fighting against racism, fighting against bigotry, for a club to come out and make this statement that their player was racially abused. We now have gone a month from that. Not one iota, not one scrap, one bit of audio, one bit of video, has vindicated these accusations. That's a scurrilous stain they're trying to put on my club, which I love. My beautiful Celtic. We're not saying we're perfect, but I am not sitting and accepting, and I don't know why Celtic are sitting and accepting. They haven't, by their statement today, they've done well. But I think now's come the time where Celtic must demand a full, unequivocal, complete apology for the scurrilous accusation made against our supporters on that day.
Actually, if we could bring it up to date, Roger, I feel like the debate here, if I can stop stuttering over those words, or the conflict here actually, and this is where it becomes a bit difficult for us to get in the middle of, is between Celtic and Sky Sports. Not so much Rangers, if that makes sense. Because if anything, the accusation is that Alfredo Morelos has been misrepresented.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the Celtic statement there. The Celtic statement says, I'm just quoting from it now, Gordon, Mr. Morelos does not use these words anywhere within the extended interview which has been broadcast.
Yeah, so there actually is no, there's no conflict here between Celtic and Rangers as such.
No, Celtic at the minute, they don't seem, certainly going by the words in the statement, they don't seem annoyed by Alfredo Morelos, they don't seem annoyed by Rangers, they seem to be annoyed by the translation. So as I say, I think the nub of this will be to find, you know, who translated it and how it was translated. This has seemed to be what irks Celtic at the minute. I believe the police inquiry is ongoing. As Frank says, there doesn't appear to be any evidence at the minute to substantiate the initial claims. But I don't want to say police inquiries move at a slower pace than we might like, but I think there was a photograph issued over the weekend by Police Scotland looking for a culprit for an incident that happened at a game last August So just because at the minute there is no evidence doesn't mean the that inquiry is closed. But as Flying says, at the minute there is no evidence to substantiate the initial claim. Today's row seems to involve Celtic and Sky Sports as opposed to Celtic and Rangers.
Do you see the difference there, Frank? I know the way passions run high in this city, and I know it's been billed in the last couple of days as if Morelos and Celtic are going head to head, and Celtic and Rangers are going head to head, but that's not strictly what's happened today.
It's a nice bit of sidestepping, Gordon, with the greatest respect.
By
yourself and the guys, I respect you, Gordon. I think you're very fair. Extremely fair.
There's no intentional sidestepping, Frank. We're actually reading verbatim the Celtic statement.
Yeah, what I mean is that you said it's not between Celtic and Rangers. It is exactly about between Rangers accusing my club supporters of racially abusing one of their players. How can that not be an issue between Celtic and Rangers? The interview.
I'm talking about today, Frank.
Please, can I speak, please?
Absolutely. Of course you can.
Right. The today statement is a different issue. It's a different complaint Celtic's got. This complaint is about the translation by Sky Sports of an interview.
Which is the one we're talking about because it's in the news today.
No, but this is a wider point. The point began on the 29th of December when Rangers, I'm assuming under Mr. James Traynor, issued a statement. And in my opinion, it was a complete deflective tactic for the throat-slitting gesture by the same player. Anyway, that's another point. But the point here is they issued that statement to say Celtic supporters racially abused Alfredo Morelos. Let's stick to this. That is a disgraceful thing if it's shown to have no background, not uncorroborated, nothing. Now, that is so serious. You can't go about accusing supporters of racially abusing people when there's nothing to back it up.
Frank, you can also encourage an investigation. If Alfredo Morelos feels he was racially abused, what do you then expect Rangers to do about it at that stage? Time travel back to the 29th.
But the point here is, we're not talking about somebody tripped him up in a tunnel. This is accusing a support section of supporters from the most anti-racist, anti-bigoted club in Europe, I would say, of being racist. That is a scurrilous thing to do with when it's shown now a month later, Gordon. This is five weeks later. And we don't have one scrap of evidence to back up that loose accusation that was thrown at Celtic. Now, if there was, I'd be the first to drag these guys out and whatever, right? Celtic supporters self-police. I've witnessed it many times. Celtic supporters, unlike another club, and say self-police bigotry and racism within their support. I've seen guys.
See, but Frank, this all sounds very loaded when you do that. When you get those little sort of digs in about the other side, it does make you wonder just if anyone can approach this with a sort of level head, Gordon Dalziel. Because if we as a game or as a society are truly interested, as in really genuinely interested in ridding our game or our society of racism, we wouldn't even pay any attention to what club it was, what colour of shirt they were wearing, what player it was. The issue would take precedent over all that.
Yeah, I think we're all on the same page, Gordon. There's no room for it, not even football and society. I was actually at the game covering it for Super Scoreboard, and it's not the usual, sitting on the fence. When he gets sent off and he was coming off the pitch, we've got our cans on, Gordon. I couldn't hear anything. And as Frank says there was no evidence yet to prove that was the case. So until you get evidence, until you can get that out there, then you can only discuss the matter and where it should go. But it doesn't matter if it's at Celtic Park or wherever it is, at Ibrox or wherever. There's absolutely no place in the game whatsoever for this.
Like I said at the beginning, Roger, there are a few separate issues here, so I appreciate where Frank's coming from. Alfredo Morelos has been racially abused in his time in Scotland. I think there was Aberdeen fans were charged, I'm sure, perhaps last year. We're now sort of getting bogged down on when it was and who it was. Does that take us away from actually just tackling the issue?
Well, listen, we can only follow the ball, if you like, in terms of this. If you read on the Celtic statement today, you know, Celtic says, again, I'm quoting from the statement, "Our consistent stance is that wherever racism exists, it should be tackled head on. Now, there was an allegation made on the 29th of December. Police Scotland are investigating, and they're investigating with the full assistance of Celtic. Celtic are helping the police. Now, there is no evidence at the minute that anything has happened, but until the police inquiry closes, Celtic will continue to assist the police in this investigation. The club is very strong on its anti-racism background, its anti-racism reputation. Now, there may well come a day in the near future, in the distant future, where Celtic have more to say on this allegation. But at the minute, there's an active inquiry going on, and Celtic are trying to get to the bottom of it. Celtic aren't sweeping this under the carpet. They're doing what they can. It's ongoing.
Good time for you to get in touch, 01419511025, and we could be speaking to you after the travel with Stephen.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon DL is here. Roger Hanna is alongside him, and they're waiting on your calls. 01419511025. In the second hour tonight, Hugh Keevans and I have been out and about. It doesn't happen very often. We went along to Hampden. We met up with Scotland boss Stevie Clark, and we had a little chat. Asked him what life was like in the hot seat. Went through some of his Scotland memories, his hopes and ambitions for these upcoming playoffs, and we're going to bring you that just after Beat the Pundit at 7 o'clock. So stay tuned for that one. Let's speak to Dan in Battlefield first. Oh, hi Dan.
Yeah, hi guys, thanks very much for having me on.
Hi Dan, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, listen, just really want to echo previous caller Frank there. Listen, I'm delighted with Celtic's statement and the stance the club has taken with regard to Alfredo Morelos' interview in Sky Sports. Personal point of view is I'd suggest the reason there's been no evidence from the game well over a month now is because there is none. Now, I'm a Celtic fan, and you know, I don't want to come across as the usual, you know, green tinted spec. So, you know, I'd say somebody that's been going to the game for well over 25 years now, you know, and I want to echo what Frank said, self policing within the Celtic support is as good as you'll see. And that's for somebody that's been to matches all over the UK. Now, I'm not for a second suggesting either that Alfredo Morelos won't have been subjected to an absolute barrage of abuse, given the kind of character he is, both on and off the park. No player should have to put up with it. But given the throat slit gesture at the end of that match, and, you know, listen, you can have your own point of view, and I can't
well,
wait.
Well, let's be clear though, Dan, and you're right. As things stand at the moment, I am yet to see any sort of yet to see the outcome of this investigation in terms of evidence. There were videos of Alfredo Morelos certainly getting abuse when he was on his way off the park. But is that maybe where we miss the point here, Dan? Everyone's focused in, and you talk about self-policing amongst the Celtic fans and how exemplary it is, and Frank did it before you as well. The type of stuff getting shouted at Alfredo Morelos, whether it was racist or not, by your general understanding of racist, he clearly wasn't getting wished well by the Celtic fans on his way down the tunnel. And I wonder if there are still lines that were crossed.
Likewise, yeah. And listen, those lines will always be crossed. I suppose everybody's got a different line there as to what your moral stance is. But no, I just wanted to echo what Frank said with regards to that, because, you know, self-policing, and listen, my club is no whiter than white. You know, and there seems to be a lot of fans still that are more obsessed with the politics at that side of the IDC rather than the football that's going on in the park. So, you know, it's not zoned in with the green tinted specs on. But again, the real point I'm trying to get at is it strikes me yet again as the gym trainer, PR machine, which most Rangers supporting guys I know are absolutely fed up with also, because it brings embarrassment to the club and takes away from the football and the title challenge that's going on at the moment. Seems to embarrass the club. I don't know what your point of view is on that.
Well, the thing about it is, Roger, these things are drawn along what team you support. Dan says he knows Rangers fans who agree, and I'm not disagreeing with Dan. I don't really see a time where we do move forward, Roger. Hopefully that's not too doomsday for you. But whilst we are still so obsessed with pointing fingers elsewhere, trying to apportion blame elsewhere, and I'm not saying Dan or anyone else is doing this, I'm speaking very generally, trying to take the moral high ground, I don't really see a way that we ever progress properly unless that changes.
I hope you're wrong. I suspect you're correct, but I hope you're wrong. Whataboutery has become, you know, a key word in Scottish football among supporters now. You know, you can't have a conversation with about one club without drawing in another club. That's just that's just the way it is.
Can you get that back? Because we do it with everything. We do it with refereeing decisions, as we noticed earlier on. You are allowed to call something out for being wrong without also having to call out everything else that's ever been wrong in the past.
Yeah, but it's not as much fun. No,
is that what you call this? Wow.
Listen, playing devil's advocate, the point you make about Morelos leaving the pitch, I'm quite sure, as you say, people weren't saying, "Well played, Mr. Morelos," as he came off the pitch. Equally, I'm quite willing to back up what Dan and Frank are saying, that there is no evidence that there was racist abuse. Is it a possibility that the player concerned, who quite clearly, despite having been in the country for 2.5 years, does not yet have a great grasp on the English language, is it beyond the realms of possibility that some of the words that were said to him as he left the pitch, he has misconstrued as perhaps being what he believed to be racist abuse, when in fact it was just good old-fashioned abuse that players get up and down the country every Friday, Saturday and Sunday? I don't know. Certainly at the minute, there is no evidence.
That's the point though, isn't it? See the fact that there are other forms of abuse which happen every Friday, Saturday and Sunday. That doesn't really make it okay. And I can almost hear Fraser Wishart on here.
It doesn't, but there is a difference between abuse and racist abuse. Of course there is. And Celtic are helping Police Scotland look into an allegation of racist abuse. At the minute, as Dan and Frank both say, there is no evidence that the police or Celtic have been able to gather that there was any racist abuse. So I don't quite know where this episode, and it's not a very nice episode, it doesn't shine a very positive light on Scottish football in general. I'm not quite sure where this episode ends.
Dan in Battlefield, thanks for the call. 01419511025. That's the number you need, and you need it now for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time, your chance to take on Roger Hannah, take on Gordon Dalziel, and win yourself a signed ball. If you think you're tough enough, 01419511025, and you need to call before the end of the news.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon Dalziel and Roger Hannah are here. We are going to keep going with some of today's biggest talking points. We're going to hear from Stephen Gerrard on actual football and what Rangers need to do to get their form back. So if you've got any thoughts on the football at the moment, the title race, the form of the two teams, get them into us now. 01419511025. And don't forget, later this hour, we're going to have an exclusive interview with Stevie Clark. Just something, a bit of an insight, if you like. Hugh Keevans and myself, just trying to find out what life's like as the Scotland manager. So we'll do that a bit later on this hour. But first, time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time. Gordon and Roger are here, and one of them is going to be taking on Curtis from Rutherglen. How are you tonight, Curtis?
Yeah, I'm good, yourself?
Yeah, not too bad at all, thanks for asking. I'm going to toss the coin. If it's heads, it's Roger Hannah, who will start on -1. And if it's tails, it will be Gordon Dalziel. And it is tails, Dalziel against Curtis from Rutherglen. Are you happy with that?
Yeah.
Your snooze that you had before the studio before the show tonight hasn't thrown you off?
That could be good.
Right, okay, let's find out. I'm going to give Gordon a bit of something else to distract him. So he's giving me the thumbs up, so he can't hear us anymore. Curtis, you've got 30 seconds head to head with Gordon. The secret, if you've never heard it before, is that you can pass. If you don't know it, pass it quickly and move on, okay?
Okay.
Good man, Curtis. Your time starts now. Who scored a double for Celtic in last season's Scottish Cup final?
Edward.
Stuart McCall was today named manager of which team?
Pass.
Where did Lee Griffiths begin his playing career?
Hibs.
What area of Edinburgh do Hearts play in?
Okay.
What year did Derek McInnes become Aberdeen's manager?
2011.
Which team is currently top of Scottish League One?
Raith Rovers.
Which club is Jordan Rossiter on loan with?
Sheffield Wednesday.
Okay, let's bring Gordon back. Gordon, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Great, we didn't send you to sleep again or anything. No, you're here.
No, you're
good to go. Alright, you ready?
Yeah.
Same set of questions to you. Your time starts now. Who scored a double for Celtic in last season's Scottish Cup final?
Tom Rogge.
Stuart McCall was today named manager Bradford. Of which team? Where did Lee Griffiths begin his playing career?
Livingston.
What area of Edinburgh do Hearts play in?
Gorgie.
What year did Derek McInnes become Aberdeen's manager?
2007.
Which team is currently top of Scottish League One?
Raith Rovers.
Which club is Jordan Rossiter on loan with?
Pass.
Name any of the two English teams that Kirk Broadfoot's played for. Quick.
Kirk Broadfoot. Sunderland. No, he didn't.
It wasn't worth the wait.
No, it wasn't.
Curtis, what do you think?
I think he's beat me.
Do you think so? Let's find out. The first one, who scored a double for Celtic in last season's Scottish Cup final? It was Odson Edward. Don't know where you got Tom Rogic from.
He's just my favourite player.
So well done to Curtis. You go in front. But there was a quick equaliser. Stuart McCall was named manager of Bradford for the third time, I think.
Yeah, third time.
Yeah, quite something. Where did Lee Griffiths begin his playing career? It was Livingston. So Gordon got it and he goes in front. What area of Edinburgh do Hearts play in? It's Gorgie. So Gordon's still one up. What year did Derek McInnes become Aberdeen's manager? I think you were only 6 years out, Gordon, so that's not bad.
What was it? He's been there 7 years, hasn't he?
It was 2013.
He's been there 7 years.
So yes,
that's ridiculous.
Gordon's still up by one. Which team is top of Scottish League One? It's Raith Rovers. I mean, if you hadn't got that, you'd have never been able to show your face in the streets of Raith ever again.
With the amount of goals I scored, yeah.
Curtis got it as well.
Oh, did he? So well done, Curtis.
You're still one up. Which club is Jordan Rossiter on loan?
I can't get that.
Fleetwood. Curtis, that was your big chance. So
yeah,
I'm afraid
it
looks like he's in front. And even the last one, name any of the two English teams
Kirk Broadfoot has played for.
Blackpool. And Rotherham.
Ah, did Curtis not get it?
He did not, which means you win by one. Hard lines, Curtis.
No problem, thanks, yeah.
Good man.
You just come up against a man in form, Curtis. Unlucky, mate. Phone bang Thursday, you'll get the mushroom.
Cheers.
Good man, that was Curtis in Rotherham. Speaking of which, did you happen to hear Thursday's Beat the Pundit?
Yes.
It was a shambles, wasn't it? The behaviour of those two. Talk about retrospective bans. We're currently going through the disciplinary process, and I think bans need to be handed out.
You talk about
being a sore loser. You are both of you the worst winners I've ever seen. The gloating, the showing off.
You have no
shameful idea
how I feel when I tuck someone away at Beat the Pundit. One defeat since September, Roger. That's for them. And these people have come on the phone and know what they do. They disrespect me because they say, yeah, I want to play DL. What happens? No balls. Leave this studio.
Just because I'm -1 doesn't mean other pundits can't also be -1. -1 for gloating, -1 for
perhaps
goading
opponents. Disciplinary issues. If you've not heard it before, it's actually worth, and you can listen to the full show, by the way, but if you want to just skip Thursday's podcast, go back to Beat the Pundit. It was a shambles.
He took a cane in, didn't he?
He
poor
did.
Lad.
Poor guy.
He deserves everything.
Was it Chris from Wishaw, was it?
I meant to ask
Smith.
I meant to ask Tom from Motherwell from last week. Did you catch up with him in Jack Daniels or the steel
works?
No,
he's disappeared. He's under a bed hiding with the chocolate biscuits. He's away. He's gone. You'll never see him.
Right, let's try and talk actual football for a bit. Steven Gerrard says Rangers will be back to their best quicker than people think. He says they're not listening to any criticism coming from the outside.
Look, I think the first thing is we realise we're not in our best form or the best moments. I think that's the first thing you've got to do. But it's very important that we don't listen to the outside noise because there's obviously a lot of emotions on the outside. There's people who are paid to give an opinion on the team and how we're playing. We respect that and understand it, but for us it's important to stick together on the inside, keep doing what we do, keep believing in how we play, and we'll play through this period and get back to our best quicker than people believe. And we're confident we can continue to progress.
I have no idea how quickly or otherwise people believe Rangers will get back to their best. But what would he make of Steven Gerrard's assessment of where they're at?
I think he did come out on Saturday and said there was sort of a spark missing, Gordon. I like the way he goes about his interviews. I think he's very honest. I think he's very open. Some people criticise him for that, saying, you know, that should be done in-house, especially when he comes out and has a go at his players after Tynecastle last week. But I like the way he goes about it. He doesn't shirk it. They need to step up to plate because it is really in important times now, because Celtic, they've got a difficult game for Park tomorrow. Rangers are at home. They've got to make home advantage count. You know, it was well documented when the winter break came back that Celtic had a lot of games on the road. Rangers had a lot of home games. And the last three games, they've only won one. So they've really got to step up to a mark. But the manager still believes in his team. He's getting one or two important players back. He's Morelos back after suspension, obviously. He'll have his captain back tomorrow. And I do agree with the caller. I think it was Ian at the beginning. Ryan Jack is a big miss for him.
John is a Rangers fan. He's from Clydebank, but you're not in Clydebank at the moment, John, are you?
No, I'm in Spain cycling.
Whereabouts in Spain?
Madrid. I was in the Alps here in France.
You've just the look on Gordon Dalziel's face. He comes in here tonight, John, acting like he's the next Bradley Wiggins. He's got his sore hip. He's tired from his 25-mile cycle. He has to lie down in the couch in the back office. And here's a man who really takes his cycling seriously. He's been in the Alps. He's in Madrid. Where were you?
I'm always last.
I was in Stourton in Fenwick. Same thing, John.
My question is for Gordon, and as it happens, Stephen Gerrard's just touched on it. He then said that, you know, people are the players aren't listening to the people that are baiting Rangers, right? Mm-hmm. My question is to fellow Rangers fans. You know, you're meant to be the 12th man. Now, it's easy to, if Rangers score a goal against Aberdeen, and we all got up and we jump about, and then we start singing after they've scored the goal, and we're 1-0 up, then possibly driving 1-2-0. But when you're 0-0 and players aren't playing well, for people to sit in the stands and hurl abuse and to get on the guys' backs, I don't know how that is supporting your club. I think to be a supporter is the easiest thing in the world. You support your team, especially when you're meeting. It's easy to support your team if they're winning 1-0. We've got this exact same team that played Celtic after part twice, 5 and 6 weeks ago. Played them after part twice. It's the exact same players. They've got a different form. So Gordon, as a player, how does it feel when the fans are elated and they're singing your name and they're chanting and you've just scored a goal? And then how does it feel when you've made three bad passes in a row and then you hear...
He made some good points, and the audio from Stephen Gerrard before John called was interesting. You know, he talks about the critics, and you know, he talks about, you know, coming out of this, you know, bad spell of form. If you go back to immediately after the winter break, the cup win against Junior, Stephen Gerrard said he was bold. He was a critic. You know, if you look after the St Mirren game, when they won the Jermaine Defoe's goal, he spoke about how the Rangers fans were complaining, and you know, there's a bit of unrest at Ibrox until Defoe scored the goal. So it was his own fans that were the critics. After the Hearts game, as Daz says, Stephen Gerrard was the main critic of the performance. Daz was there with Alisson, the Aberdeen game at the weekend. That was just, you know, saying at the break there. Again, the Rangers fans were getting, as John said, were getting on the backs of the players. So in this instance, since the winter break, it's not really been media or the pundits or people like that who have been getting on the backs of the Rangers players.
I think that's what's been annoying, John, though.
It's the manager and the fans.
Yeah, but I think that's exactly what's annoying, exactly. John. And he's asking you, Gordon, and I think it's fairly obvious that to anyone who's ever been to any football game, really, but particularly the bigger the club, the bigger the expectations. Rangers are by no means alone here. When you get those expectations, that's the kind of thing that comes from the crowd. Can it really impact players?
Oh yeah, of course it can, Gordon. Players that are not used to that, when you're out there and you know, you hear the sort of a boo. And I've got to say, there's anxious times at Ibrox just now. I after the game, I could hear some really, what I would call, poor shouts to the Rangers players, because Rangers fans are desperate for a title. They believe that they could do it this year. Especially after their victory against Celtic at Celtic Park on December 29th. And when you're looking at a Rangers team that's come back for the winter break, and they're not firing on all cylinders just now, they're still in the title race, but they've got to up the gears for me. They've got to get back to doing what they were doing before the winter break kicked in. And it is a little problem, because you've got guys there that have never really experienced it. And sometimes you can sink or you can swim, Gordon. You've got to be a real strong character, because 49,000 of them are Rangers supporters, and they're first to tell you if you're not matching up to what they're hoping for.
Just to set this up for tomorrow when we really get into it, is there anything in particular that might be done to to change their fortunes, would it be a surprise start for someone like Hadji? The return of James Tavernier, you would imagine, will be welcomed.
Well, I'm going to say, and people say, well, how can you come out of that assessment? I like to look at the boy Hadji when he come on, and sometimes you go, he looks like a football player. He looked very comfortable on the ball. Okay, he come on, what was it, Roger, 78 minutes, but there was 4 minutes added on as well. He looked confident. He looked a young lad that wanted to get on the ball. He wasn't afraid of it. You know, when things aren't going right, you see some players sort of a shirking out, taking responsibility. He certainly wasn't one of those. No, I think he'll go with the same team. They need an early goal. And I think once you get that early goal, Tavernier will be back tomorrow. I think he provides great width on the right-hand side and great service for Morelos. And I think if they get the early goal, it just lifts Gordon. You just need a game. You need to come off the pitch and say, that was a good 3 points. We played really well there. Then you try and kick on from that. As I say, Rangers supporters round about me, very anxious. Would I be overly worried to now? No, I wouldn't. But if they don't pick up 3 points tomorrow night, I certainly would be starting to look about me and think, what's going on here?
Let's speak to John in Parkhead. Hi, John.
Hi, how you doing? All right, Roger.
No worries, John.
Gordon Dale, just before I make my point.
Yeah, John.
If you see Matt Wilson.
Aye.
Tell him Dave Philinden signed for Tottenham.
Listen, he's
Mr. Trent. 80 grand. Dave, he says he's breaking. Tell him 80 grand a week. Just the next time you see him, mouse him up. 80 grand a week he's on.
In case you're wondering what John's on about, go and check out the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. You'll see Mark Wilson telling us quite a funny story by his own standards of a trialist who came up to Brecon, or Brecon as it should be, and it didn't quite go right. So go and check out that video. John, what's your point tonight?
I've got a couple of points. Just first, before I talk about the football, the game over to Ibrox, Gordon, I listened to you Saturday on the way home for Ibrox.
Yeah.
And even my old man's old school, he's very quiet. Even he shushes you, didn't you? But the referee, and I'm not blaming, the game's away, the game's done.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the worst refereeing performances I've seen in a long, long time for Andrew Dallas. It was absolutely shocking, Gordon.
He wasn't the difference of, for instance, apparently claim that somebody's, you know, it's a Stonewall penalty kick, a sending off, which was a Stonewall sending off. I think that sometimes that, yeah, you can say the referee had a good game, bad game or whatever, but I think, John, you've got to be honest with yourself. On Saturday, it wasn't Andrew Dallas didn't play a part on Rangers' poor performance. He didn't play a part when Alfredo Morelos was through and really should have put the ball in the back of the net. So sometimes it's very easy to make other excuses and point the finger at a referee. Now, you might say Andrew Dallas didn't have a great game on Saturday. Now, a lot of people might agree with you, but I don't think that Andrew Dallas was the difference of Rangers picking up 1 point or 3 points.
Gordon, if you've probably listened to what I said there, I mean, the game's away now, the game's done.
Yeah.
Gordon, there was a couple of instances in the game. They go up with Golson. Golson went to speak to him, and he booked him. He just went to talk to him for a foul at Cosgrove. And Cosgrove, I don't know how many fouls Cosgrove done on Saturday. The other man was Barisic. Barisic, his first foul, and they booked him. Again, that's a way it's going. I want to talk about the game tomorrow night,
right.
And it's very important that we get back on it. We get back winning again, because I think there's 15 games to go. I think we've got 15, and I think we've got to start winning.
John, would you agree that there's a little spark missing just now? Would you agree with that?
Aye, Gordon, we spoke about it last week. Mm-hmm. I was on last Thursday when you and Mark were on, and also I was looking forward to the Aberdeen game, and I thought that was it. I thought we had to win on Saturday. Okay, we didn't get the 3 points. We took a point. But I think we've got to start winning, and it's got to start tomorrow night. Okay, we've got the Scottish Cup on Saturday, and then we have to go to Kilmarnock next Wednesday. So the games are coming fast and furious, and I've got to get back getting that 3 points on the board. I'm glad there's a few players coming back.
John, you go to the games. Would you change the personnel? See, the criticism I heard a little bit at half time. I was hearing a couple of guys having a chat at half time on Saturday, and it's the
just
same.
Just Eerie Wigan, were you?
Yeah, I like to do that, Gordon. And a lot of concerns was the fact that it's the same old pony every week. It's the 4-3-3, Kent coming in, Aribo coming in. And they were saying, look, how does a manager never change? Especially when things aren't going great for them. They needed to change something. It's just light for me. And I'm not saying it, because at the end of the day, Steven Gerrard's quite entitled to pick his team, his formation, whatever he wants to do. But I'm listening to Rangers fans talking about it.
I don't like digging guys out of scapegoats, but the boy Glenn Kamara has dipped in form the last...
Yeah.
Also maybe since we've come back after the winter break. I would play the boy Hadji the morning night for the start. I would play him.
Well, I said, John, and I know he only came on the 78th minute, right? But there was four extra minutes as well. So he had a little bit on the pitch. I like to look at the lad. Now, you can't really judge him on that game, but I like the fact that it was 0-0, that you heard the supporters, they were anxious at the game, and he was quite confident to go and take the ball, even with a man marking him. He was demanding the ball, he made good space, he looked a very comfortable footballer. I would like to see a lot more of him as well, I've got to say.
Yeah, I thought, I was at Livingston Motherwell at the weekend, I was only listening to you and Alison at Ibrox. The way the game seemed to be going, I was surprised it took so long for Hadji and Camberi to be sent on by Steven Gerrard. I think it was something like 78 and 83 minutes. If for no other reason, if you send on Hadji after the fanfare of his arrival, send him on after 55, 60 minutes, it lifts the entire stadium. Now, you know, unless I'm completely mistaken by the game wasn't going Rangers' way at that stage. There was no reason not to make the substitution. And sometimes things like that can just change the course of the game. I would start the boy tomorrow night from the start.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much to John in Parkhead. Full fixture card tomorrow. Brilliant, these midweek fixture cards. So make sure you join us, and we'll give you all the build up, team news and all the rest of it from 6 o'clock. I have been directing you to this all night, and now it is that time. We are going to hear from Stevie Clark very soon. Hugh Keevans and I went along to Hampden, sat down with him recently, and we're going to hear how he's feeling in the Scotland job. We'll do that next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Roger Hanna and Gordon Dale are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're about to hear from the Scotland boss, Stevie Clark, and this is a coincidence, trust me. We've got a full-time teaser for you tonight that is an international theme, so we're going to get the question up and running for you. This one's been sent in by Cahir. My apologies if Cahir? Cahir? My apologies if the pronunciation is a little off.
What's happened to Smudger tonight?
Oh, just something a bit different for you.
Does Radio Clyde have a translator? Could help you with that?
No, Gordon Dale's the translator.
All right, so.
Can you name 10 players?
Yes.
Who've debuted for Scotland this century and have never scored an international goal, but they must have more than 15 caps. Or at least 15 caps, sorry. So name the 10 players who've made their Scotland debuts this century, have at least 15 caps, but have never scored an international goal. Of course, it's outfield players only. Come on. Were you just about to give me David Marshall, Craig Gordon, Alan McGregor?
Yeah.
No, that would have been great, yeah.
Yeah, definitely was.
So, 10 players.
Mm-hmm. Oh, McTominay?
No.
Yeah, he's not scored.
It probably doesn't have 15 caps then.
Yeah, he has.
He's not on the list. That's all you need to know. You got the question though, yeah?
What? Ryan Fraser.
No.
What about Russell Martin?
Yes, 29 caps, no goals.
Okay.
Any more? I don't like the silence. Silence on radio does not work.
Liam Alexander.
Yes. Gordon, you can join in whenever you want.
Tierney.
No.
I think he's got fewer than 15 caps, amazingly.
What?
Yeah, I think he's only got about
13 Robertson.
Caps.
He's scored.
He's scored.
More than what he scored multiple times. Against England, Lithuania.
Palmer.
Was it Cyprus? Was that the other one?
Liam Palmer.
Liam Palmer doesn't have 15 caps.
He might.
He's got about 3 or 4.
He should have a lot more. The boy's playing well.
Quick, one more guess.
I have a feeling he might have scored. Grant Hanley must have scored.
Yeah, he's not on the list. Okay, we'll leave it there, because I'm confident in you. We're looking for 10 players, Scotland debuts this century, at least 15 caps but have never scored an international goal. Outfield players only. Now, Stevie Clark, he remembers standing on the Hampden terraces as a boy, witnessing qualification, and that spurs him on to hopefully find a way through these playoffs and end a long wait for a return. Hugh Keevans and I went and caught up with him recently just to get a bit of an insight into what life's like in the Hampden hot seat. Stevie, welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Thanks for joining us. You are 7-8 months in the job, about 8 games in that time. Now, in club management, you'd have 8 games covered in 4 or 5 weeks. How different has it been? Are you getting used to it yet?
Yeah, I think I'm adapting. It was a tough spell in the middle. We had the two big hitters in the group. To lose 4 games in a row was always difficult. Was hard to deal with. I think the players found it difficult as well. But it was always important towards the end of the group. I knew that the 3 games were winnable, the games that we should win, and we did win. And I think we take that positivity and that good feeling into the playoff game.
What's the biggest thing you've learned in that time? Because it was always going to be any manager goes into, from club football to international football, a learning experience. What would you say is the biggest lesson you've learned?
Less time on the training pitch, so the points have to be very much more specific rather than when a coach with a club or a working with club players, you can drip feed them almost every day little points, little bits of tactical advice, team advice, individual advice. Whereas with the national team, you don't have that luxury. You have to put everything, make everything very concise and get your point across very quickly. And obviously, you get some of that on the training pitch, but you have to do a lot more in the classroom with the video work and try and make sure that your videos are very clear and concise that the players can understand.
On a personal level, Steve, you can absorb the rhythm of the international manager's job, but is there a difference in intensity from being on the bench with a club side?
The intensity with a club side, I think, it tends to build over a period of time. You know, with a national manager, you've got a game and then you've got, well, in September, October, November, you've got 3 weeks to stew between games, or to be happy for 3 weeks, or to be sad for 3 weeks, or to be angry for 3 weeks. Whereas in a club game, you just move on. You have your game on the Saturday night. By the time you get to the Monday morning, you're on the next game. Whereas you don't quite have that level of intensity to work with in international football.
Were you a man?
And that took a little bit of getting used to.
Were you a man who took your problems home with you? Would you refuse to watch match of the day if it hadn't gone well for you? And does that change now that you're the national team manager?
Not really. I've always been pretty good with in terms of handling media. I don't overread it. I don't overanalyze it. I understand that people have got a job to do and they need to have an opinion. Sometimes that will be a outrageous opinion, and sometimes it'll be a good opinion, sometimes it'll be a bad opinion. There's nothing I can do to affect someone else's opinion, so I just get on with my work, try not to get too high if we win, try not to get too low if we get beat, and just try and keep a clear level head and stay on the path.
What is the process of keeping tabs on all the players from all the leagues look like? Is it very defined between, I don't know, you cover one area and Stephen Reid covers another area, or is it a bit more fluid?
No, it's a little bit more fluid's a better word. I was going to say scattergun. you just tend to look around and decide which games to go to. I try and watch, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I try and watch players that maybe I'm not sure about, more than players that you know are going to be definite picks. You know you're going to pick a player, then there's not too much to see. Sometimes it's good to go and see them just to see how they are on the pitch, make sure they're moving well. But you tend to go and look at players that maybe you've got a little doubt about, and hopefully they can eliminate those doubts as you're watching them.
I don't know if you're a spreadsheets man or if it's very much just a kind of in the head type thing. Is it a case of getting to Monday morning, checking who played, who didn't, who came off injured perhaps? I know that's quite relevant at the moment.
I think the good thing about the media just now, or there are so many sites you can access that will tell you who played, how many minutes. So by the time you get to a Saturday night or a Sunday morning, you know whether somebody's come off early. If they've come off early, you're looking, somebody comes off in the first half, you immediately think it's an injury. Then you're trying to find out who's injured, who's not injured. not so big a worry in January, I have to be honest, because players will get injured in January and be ready for March, so don't worry too much about that.
On the subject of patriotism, I'm the only one here now who can remember a fresh-faced, clean-shaven, full head of hair, Steve Clark, playing for St Mirren.
Yep.
You left this country 33 years ago. When you lived down south for three decades and more, does your Scottish identity grow, diminish? What happens?
I'd like to think it stays the same. I don't think it diminished. Accent didn't go. Kept my accent. Although people would tell me, after being down south for a couple of years, oh, you sound English, you sound this or that. I don't think I sound English. I think I sound pretty much the way I sounded when I went down south. Always been patriotic about Scotland. I keep moaning that I didn't get enough caps.
Yeah.
I keep saying that I deserved more than six, and I think that probably tells you that I wanted to play more often for Scotland. I wanted to be involved up here. I wanted the national. Always wanted the national team to do well, even when I was down south, especially when I'm down south, because it's a long time not qualifying for tournaments, and you've got all your English friends giving you a hard time. So it'd be nice to close one or two mouths down there.
Do you remember, everyone goes on, justifiably, about the 22 years that have elapsed since we last played in a major final in France, 98. Do you remember, as a 10-year-old, how you felt when Scotland beat Czechoslovakia and qualified for the 1974 World Cup after a 16-year gap?
It was a fantastic night. I remember my dad took me to the game. We stood on the North Terrace, underneath the old North Stand. I couldn't see the game, but it didn't matter. I was there. I got the atmosphere. I actually got a little view through the window as Joe Jordan got that header at the back post, and the place erupted. Was it nice like that? Experience like that, you live with you for the rest of your life. Was a marvellous moment, and great to say I was there.
You're now in charge of the dreams, as it were. I have a 10-year-old grandson who was born in London, lives in Brighton, sounds like one of the cast of EastEnders, but goes to school in a Scotland strip.
Yeah.
And he's devastated because he can't get up here for the Israel game because it's a school night. Do you encounter that kind of patriotism as you go around with the national team, and how does it make you feel?
No, it makes you feel good. Even recently, walking through Red Square, we walked into Red Square with my coaching staff, and the members of the Tartan Army were there. They all want a picture. They all want you to do well. You can understand they want you to do well. Some of them are understandably a little bit frustrated because they haven't made it to a major tournament. They want to be there so that they can show the world what they're all about, or in this case, Europe, what they're all about. And it would be great to be the manager that finally gets the team back into a major tournament.
A whole generation of fat and players. There'll be players in your squad, lots of them, I'm sure, who simply cannot remember what it's like. You speak about that memory of being here, Czechoslovakia. Joe Jordan, how much does that stuff drive you on to try and get us there this time?
No, I think it drives everybody. It's a good point that the younger ones don't remember what it's like to be in a tournament, to qualify for a tournament. So the quicker we can put that right, the better. And then I think once you qualify for one, and this generation understand what it means to the country and how it feels to be part of a major tournament, to be involved in a major, or the finals of a major tournament, I think that would give everybody the even more hunger to be involved in future tournaments.
Do you think we've got guys in the squad who are capable or on the brink of maybe becoming that Scotland hero? I mean, John McGinn sort of is on the path if you look at the last campaign, but ultimately it takes that big piece of success, doesn't it, to cement yourself as one of them?
No, I think for any player, you want to play at the best level you can. You want to play at the highest level. For all these players in the squad now, and I know the, I shouldn't have to sit here and say the players are desperate to qualify, because that should be a given. Everyone should understand that these players want to be judged at the highest possible place in their profession. So to play in a major tournament against the best, in this case, the best countries in Europe, is something that they all want to do. They all want to be there. They want to experience being part of a squad in a major tournament. I want to experience that. I missed out. I think I was close in going to one of the World Cup campaigns. I think it was 1990. I was close to going there. I was in the pre-selection squad, but didn't make the final cut, which was disappointing. But I still want to experience that. The only way I can experience it now is as a manager or a coach, and that's what I want to do.
To put you right on the spot, you're naming the squad for the Nations League semis and finals, and you can pick one Scotland player from the past to get into your squad. Who are you picking? One only, I'm afraid. That's, you're going to need to upset some people.
It's definitely put me on the squad. It's going to make it really difficult. I'm going to pick Sir Kenny Dalglish. Because he's the type of player that in the system we play would be able to link the team. He's a fantastic footballer, Kenny, and also somebody I worked with closely at Liverpool and a great guy to boot. So it would be Sir Kenny Dalglish.
Are you happy with that, Hugh? Is that,
well,
that's got to be an acceptable answer.
It would have, I'm sure, to be. Agree. When you asked the question, I knew that was going to be Steve's answer, and not because he had worked with Kenny in a managerial position either. And that would lead me to the point that when Sir Kenny and all the others were part of a Scotland team in their pomp, the golden age, 74 to 98, we had a terrific group of players to choose from. It's not for you to say, but it's for onlookers to observe that the depth of choice that you have now is not comparable with years gone by. How does that affect your job, and how are these players at coming up to that level?
Now, maybe the depth of talent is not there, but I feel in recent years the quality of the talent has improved. Now maybe we haven't covered every position yet, but you also find with international football it can come in cycles, you know, and this group of players that we've got together now, if they can stay fit, work together, we might need to find one or two in various positions to make us a little bit stronger and a little bit better. But this group of players, I feel, have got the talent to take this country to a major finals. Whether it's this tournament or the next one, we have to wait and see. But I feel that we're on an upward curve at the moment, and we have to try and continue that. We have to try and remain positive. Even when you get the bad blows, the disappointments, the big defeats that hurt more than the little defeats, you have to try and stay positive and work with the national team. I think there's too much negativity, and we have to keep pushing and try to make ourselves feel better about ourselves.
Yeah, great interview there from Stevie Clark. Delighted with that. Dalglish, what a player he could be for us. I was a big fan of Dalglish, Gordon.
You told us something quite humorous about him when
I was 14. I used to try and run like Dalglish.
What do you mean by that?
Well, he sort of had his own style. Like, if you look at James Forrest just now, you'll have a couple of young kids down the park running like wee James Forrest. And
I'm not sure. And by the way, no disrespect to him, he's a great footballer and very successful for Celtic. I'm not sure kids are trying to copy James Forrest's running style.
Yeah, you might. I used to do that as a young kid, and then obviously.
So how does Kenny Dalglish run then?
Well, I can't show you now because I take cramp and my hips are a bit sore. But you know, people used to say that I looked like Dalglish at times when I played, and then when it went on a little bit later, my nose got bigger, I became Ian Rush.
I wondered where that was going. Roger Hanna, I'm glad it was his nose anyway, that's for sure. What about the teaser, because
it's
tied in
a good one.
International theme, can you name 10 players who've made their debuts for Scotland this century, have at least 15 caps and have never scored an international goal? Don't give me goalies, it goes without saying. No goalies. You've got Graham Alexander and Russell Martin.
Right, we got a couple wrong, so we're going for right ones now. What about Barry Bannon in the middle of the park?
Brilliant, well done.
Right. And I've asked Roger, and Roger doesn't know, so if it's right, it's mine's. If it's wrong, it's Roger's. Cal McGregor.
Yes, well done.
And my last one that I've got is Charlie Adam. I don't know if he's got 15 caps, has he?
26 caps.
Has he?
No goals.
Oh,
well done.
Come on,
okay,
Roger.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to go.
Pressure's on me now. How about Alan Hutton?
Yes.
Yes. 4 to go. We'll get them next. Still plenty of time for you to call 01419511025. Let's hear from you.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon DL and Roger Hannah joining me, Gordon Duncan. Apologies for laughter straight out of the break. Very unprofessional. The reason being,
don't you tell everybody his reason.
Just before we resumed the show, somehow we briefly got on to politics in the studio, which doesn't happen very often, especially when Gordon DL's around, and he just described us as being in Brexit, which perhaps Roger shines a light onto to Gordon's understanding of these issues.
Well, listen, I think we'll need to have a word with Lorraine if there's ever a time when the Radio Clyde political editor needs time off. I think we've found his deputy.
We're in Brexit, like it. Right, hopefully this is your area of expertise. On tonight's teaser, we're looking for 10 players who've made an international debut for Scotland since 2000. They've at least 15 caps, but they've never scored a goal. Outfield players: Alan Hutton, Graham Alexander, Russell Martin, Barry Bannon, Charlie Adam, Callum McGregor. 6 down, 4 to go.
Right, we're thinking defenders. What about Stephen Whittaker?
Yes.
Oh, Roger.
Gordon, one from you.
No, I've gave you my 3 and that's
okay.
If we're thinking defenders, I can't think when he scored. Gary Naismith?
No.
Callum Davidson?
No.
Oh, very good. Ooh. Roger, right?
3 to get. We'll get them later. Let's speak to Stevie in Paisley. Hi, Stevie.
Hi guys, how we doing?
Not bad, Stevie. What's your point tonight?
Same as yourself. Happy New Year. The same as the first caller.
Stevie, this is the worst ever. That is a yellow card offence. The 4th of February.
I've been away for a while, so I've been working away, so I'm back.
Good man.
Just a couple of points, obviously, for the boys. Roger knows that I normally phone up speaking about my captain quite regularly, and obviously the mainstay of the team. The 2 points. First point is, how are Celtic going to replace Scott Brown and Odson Edward? What are they doing, do you think? Because Scott Brown won 4.4 million, over 700 appearances for Celtic. It's phenomenal achievement.
It's Celtic and Hibs, by the way, the 700. Still a good achievement,
Celtic,
by the way.
But yeah, a phenomenal achievement for both Celtic and Hibs. I think Celtic must be in the background right now. You're only talking about 3 months. The season's done. And whatever happens, fair enough. I think I would put the whole board out of Celtic win the title to keep Edward. I would make him the highest paid player at the club, and whatever the sell-on fee would be. However, I think maybe it's time the young boy wants to experience something else. I hope he doesn't, but that's just my first point. What are Celtic doing if Roger knows in the background to replace these 2 players?
Well, I'm sure if it wasn't you, Stevie, somebody phoned in a couple of years ago and said, how are Celtic ever going to be replaced Moussa Dembele? Yeah. And then Odson Edward came in, and I think Odson Edward was he was third choice striker, if you like, behind Dembele and Griffiths. And developed and is now as important to Celtic as any player in the team. However, a bit like replacing Dembele, I think Celtic will be looking to be replacing Edward. Now, maybe Patrick Klamala is going to be the long-term replacement for Edward. Maybe Lee Griffiths is going to be the long-term replacement for Edward. Or maybe they've someone up their cuff to be the long-term replacement for Edward. I think, though, the point you made about Scott Brown is the more salient point, Stevie, because Scott Brown has won 8 league titles. Scott Brown has won, I think it's 9 domestic cups. He's been captain for the majority of them. I think he's the second most successful captain in Celtic's history. And he drags the team along with him. How you find another Scott Brown is probably going to be a tougher assignment than how you find another Odson Edward, because Celtic will always create chances. Strikers will always score goals for Celtic. They've done it for however many years. But finding someone who has the influence in the team and within the club that Scott Brown has, for me, will be a bigger task than replacing Edward's goal.
Stevie, is there a worry there for you that Odson Edward's form is such at the moment that making him the highest earner at the club, giving him a long contract, is there a fear there that his form is so good that there's going to be little Celtic can actually do to keep him come the summer?
See, I think you know that. I think everybody's out there knows that it's going to be so difficult. Keeping him and obviously Morelos, we need to enjoy these two guys just now, because honestly, you're not going to get straight as that. I get what you mean, Roger, about Dembele. However, I think at his stage in his career, I think Edward's more pivotal. Then, because we had a really on-song Griffiths at the time. But in relation to Scott Brown, I mean, he dragged Celtic through that game on Saturday, and that was hard work. Gordon, you've been in games like that yourself where it's hard work. You know it's hard work. You're trying. It's not happening for you. And there's a player in your team that you just look at and say, wait a minute here. he is actually just driving us through this game here. Gets his sleeves rolled up and gets us into the game, whether it's behind the scenes, talking to young players or whatever. But I just hope that we're on the lookout for players of that calibre to come in and see us through the rest of the season and beyond.
Yeah, he's certainly a leader of men. I don't think he's looking at retiring soon at the end of the season. He'll probably keep going. Every time I see him, I think he just gets better with age, I've got to say. I think Scott Brown is a terrific footballer as well. Very intelligent player now. I think a lot of that was under Brendan Rodgers. But I highlighted it last week. Ross County at home, and Celtic weren't playing particularly well. And they were a bit slack at the back. And I seen Scott Brown in the middle of the park having a real dig at Julian. You know, basically telling them, you need to get the finger out here. We need to sharpen this up. But that's just the leadership that he's got in him, and he's proved that year in and year out. When he eventually retires from Celtic, of course he'll be a big miss. Edward will be the same, because he is an absolutely terrific centre forward. Oh,
phenomenal. He really is. But that's the kind of points anyway. That I just hope that when I phone you again during the summer again, Roger, because you normally you're kind of on the ball for me when you kind of let me know who they're scouting for. So that's your task. I want you to speak to you in the summer. and I need you on the ball.
I'm sure you'll phone back before then, Stevie.
Yeah, let's speak to you before then, Stevie. No Happy New Year next time, though. That was Stevie and Paisley. Thank you very much for the call. That was the first time for a while Gordon and I had seen any football in the flesh, actually, because you know I'm always in here, so I don't really get the chance so often. I do like to go along on various Sundays.
To Hamilton?
To anywhere. I'll go absolutely anywhere. So went to Hamilton at the weekend, and yeah, I must admit, seeing Edward's influence in the flesh was not that I didn't know how good he was, but clearly he really seems to be getting almost better every week at the moment.
Yeah, he is, Gordon. He's some talent, you've got to say. And he is getting better every week. You just look at his free kick, for instance. Absolutely. And I know that a lot of people looked at it and had a go at the goalkeeper's positioning, but to get it up and down over that wall as quickly as he did was absolutely brilliant. And then he goes through from a terrific ball from Tom Rogic. His link-up play is very good. I think that's the most important thing for him now. I think he's developed better with his link-up play. And I think him and Griffiths, I think he likes having a partner up there as well. It helps him, and I think they're working very good as a partnership. But you know that if you're struggling, he is one of the guys that can just turn the game in the flick of a hat.
Mr. Sitter for a hat.
The flick of a hat.
Flick of a switch,
one. I like
sorry,
that. Huh? I'm going to write that one down.
Okay. A flick
of
the switch.
I love it when you get the mixed metaphors. They're good. Yeah, we could have a full show on that.
You can flick your hat, can you? There you go.
Roger, any chance of Millwall causing an upset there tomorrow?
Not if they play the way they did on Saturday. They were absolutely dreadful. Stephen Robinson came in, and I think he was just shell shocked.
We played it last night. It was brilliant.
How bad they had been.
I don't think I've ever heard the manager so
open.
So critical. He said even every decision I made went wrong.
The two of you would not have believed how bad your team were. Years since I've seen Motherwell as poor. No one played, with the exception of the goalkeeper, who was outstanding.
Let's round off this teaser. We're looking for 10 players who've debuted for Scotland this century, at least 15 caps, but no goals. Alan Hutton, Graham Alexander, Stephen Whittaker, Russell Martin, Barry Bannon, Charlie Adam, Callum McGregor. Three.
What
to go?
What about Stephen Pearson?
No.
Great effort. Oh, hold on a minute. You sort of
played a big part in that night in Paris, didn't he? Yeah, came off the bench.
You actually sort of went there.
Did I give something away?
Yes,
there.
Okay. Something. Maybe a Stephen.
Stephen McManus.
Maybe a Stephen
Presley.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
I thought you had it. I got a bit excited, sorry. Right, two to go. Steve McManus is not one of them. He scored that famous goal against Liechtenstein,
yeah,
remember?
Of course. Barry Robson.
Oh, Roger, pick it out.
That's a fantastic shout from you. 17 caps, 0 goals. 1 to get. Would you be surprised if I told you it was the hardest? By a mile.
It's not Dominic Matteo, is it?
Ooh.
No.
What team did he play for? It must be outside Old Firm. Yeah.
Hearts.
A Hearts player. So not Gary Naismith, it was there earlier, no.
Colin Cameron, no.
Dundee United.
Dundee United? Hearts. Initials.
Hearts and Dundee. Andy Webster?
No. S-S.
Scott Severin.
Scott Severin. Well done, Roger and Gordon. Thank you very much for your input tonight, gents. Thanks for all the calls and tweets and for keeping us company out there and listening. We are back tomorrow night. We've been spoiled rotten since the turn of the year with these midweek fixture cards. It's just one game after another. Drama, excitement, controversy, talking points. It's all there. And we'll do the same tomorrow. Six big games to preview, and we'll do it from 6 o'clock. So make sure you join us. Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy will be here. We'll give you all the team news, all the build up, and then we'll get stuck into the action as well. In the meantime, Callum Gallagher is up next, so stay there.
Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompson's.com.